You know, for the past few weeks, Pastor Jennifer has been talking about faith. What do you remember about it? Title, but what about precious faith? How does it apply to us? Faith is something that we don't see, yet we believe. So why is faith precious to us? It's precious because of the cross. Anything else? What else? What else do you remember about the preciousness of the faith? The cross? The cross? The cost. The cost, yes.
Faith is precious because of the future.
The future, yes. But how do we keep this faith? What do we need to do to keep this faith? You know, sometimes if a storm comes, our faith is gone. Sometimes we trust in our own abilities, we are in our own strength. And then there's no faith. We say, oh, what happened to me? Why is this happening? Where is our faith then? This morning I want us to delve a little deeper into this faith business. What is it that kept all the people from Genesis to Revelation going? What is the secret that kept them going? Anybody? What was it that kept Abraham trusting God to go to a new place? God said, just go, and he went. Yes, obedience. But what else?
Faith.
Trust, yes. But I want to go look into something more deeper than that. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know that there's a secret place that we can go to? God has a secret place that we can go to. And that's what everybody in the Bible found a secret place where they could go and really come before God. And that's where you find that they found something new and strength to go on. Abraham believed because he was in the secret place. He heard the voice of God. He trusted God. He had the faith. But he had this relationship with God when God spoke to him on a one-to-one basis. When was the last time, let me ask you, that God spoke to you and said something personally to you? Has a God ever spoken to you? Yes? I don't see many heads nodding. But God does speak. And why is it that we don't hear what he says? It is because we don't make the effort to go into that secret place of knowing who he is, having that intimate relationship. Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. This is after all he had suffered. He was in jail. He was beaten up. But yet he had this intimate knowledge of Jesus because he knew what the secret place was. We were studying the book of Philippians recently, and I was looking at the book of Acts. Paul constantly on the way to Damascus, he hears a voice, and the voice says, who are you persecuting? And he says, I am Jesus. And then if you look at Acts chapter 22, God constantly is speaking to Paul because he has this intimate relationship with Jesus. And so with us in this life, if we really want to be people who are salt and light in this world, we need to have this intimate relationship. Our focus needs to be on ourselves. Many times we come to church and we say, oh, I am in such a miserable position. I am having spiritual warfare. I'm doing this and doing that. It's about me. But then when we change our focus to him, everything changes. So everything begins with the relationship between Jesus in the secret place. Forget about the "and" there. This is open to us through the cross, and we choose to enter through prayer and worship. How do you have this intimate relationship with God? When you go into His presence. When you take time off from your busy schedules. So many of us, we say, "Oh, I'm tempted. I don't have the strength to bear all these things that I'm going through." Because you're focusing on yourself. Well, when you focus on Jesus, the whole perspective changes. Did you notice when we were worshiping, when we all lifted our hands, there was something special that happened this morning? Did you notice? You felt the atmosphere changing. Throughout the morning, we were singing praises to God. We were worshiping Him. Our focus was on Him. But then when we lifted our hands and said, "Lord, we worship You," we opened our mouths and started praising Him, the whole atmosphere changed here this morning. Jesus knew and taught the importance of prayer in secret. He modeled for us. He was the model. And if you look at the scripture, if you look at the New Testament, all the four Gospels, time and again, there is this example of Jesus setting an example. Let's look at some verses. So Jesus continually modeled secret prayer while on earth. Let's read this. So what happens here? Jesus is surrounded by great multitudes who came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. But in the midst of that, Jesus takes time to go off into the wilderness by Himself to pray. How often do we do that? In our busyness, do we take time to really go off and say, "I'm going to spend this time in prayer"? It's important. It's very important for us to realize that we need God more than we need to go into His presence. We need to bask in His presence. What's happening here? Okay. We need to bask in His presence. And then you see Jesus, He needed to go into the wilderness to pray. One more verse. Mark chapter 1:35.
"Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, we went out and marched to the place, and there He prayed."
So early in the morning, before everybody was up, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Let's look at some more verses. So entering the secret place of God can be simple as going into a swimming pool. What do you do when you go into a swimming pool? You just get in and then you let the water take over. Going into the presence of God is just like that. You know, when many years ago, God called us into the ministry. And at that time, I was doing many things. I was working for the UN. And I felt God call us into ministry, and then it was a struggle to give that up, because it was good. Financially, it was good for us. And so we decided to go into ministry. And I went into the ministry with the attitude that, "God, here I am. I have all these talents. I have all these abilities, and I'm serving You now." And then for the first few months, everything was fine. And I was doing my work and I was in ministry. I was involved in several things. But then I was doing it in my own strength. And one day, a crisis came up. There was conflict and there were problems. And suddenly, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't solve it on my own. And I went back to God and said, God, why is this happening to me? Why am I in this terrible situation? And God reminded me that I need you more than what you do for me. And it changed my whole perspective. And from that time on, I've made it a point to come to God every morning. In our home, I go into our room, I shut the door, and I'm there quiet by myself and with the Lord for a long time. But I find that it's essential for me to go and do that, to go into this quiet time and spend time with God. So what happened when Jesus spent time alone with God? The Father spoke to him. And God gave him instructions, gave him the strength to continue. All these pressures were there every day surrounding him. People wanting this, wanting that, wanting to be healed. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus found strength to continue to worship him, to hear what God is doing. So Jesus, even before his ministry began, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. He was baptized in the River Jordan. But what happens? Even before his ministry, the Holy Spirit comes on him. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Why? Have you ever thought of that? Why the Father said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? Because right from that tender age, Jesus had his focus right. He went into the secret place and he worshiped God. He learned to listen to who God is as a father. And that is the same privilege we have. God is our Father. Do we know? Do we recognize that? How often do we come to him as a father? You know, some of us have had bad experiences with our fathers. We've been treated badly. But our Heavenly Father's different. He's very different from each one of them, from our natural fathers. And we can come to him. And Jesus trusted the Father. How much more about us? Look at what happened to Peter and John. Peter was a failure in many chances. He was one of the first disciples that Jesus chose. He was bold. He was the spokesman of the disciples. Anything happened, Peter was the one, the first to speak up. And then he goes and betrays Jesus. He says, "No, everybody else will betray you, but not me." And then when the time of trial comes, Peter betrays him. And Jesus looks at him. And Peter, his heart melts. And he goes outside and weeps. There are two people at that time who weep. One is Peter, the other one is Judas. Judas also wept. But nothing happened to him with that weeping. Peter was different. Peter wept, and then his whole focus changed. And then you see that Jesus comes and restores him, because there is this heart that is sensitive to God. And then you find that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and everybody is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who stands up? Peter stands up. And then two chapters later, in Acts chapter 4, there is a riot there because Peter and John are going into the temple and there's a lame man and he's healed. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none. And Peter's and the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests are against him. But one thing they recognized, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And look what they did. They perceived that they're uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That is the difference, that they had been with Jesus. What about us? Can people see the difference in our lives? Can people see Jesus in our lives? How does that happen? How does that happen? Only when we go into the secret place. Go into the secret place. Look at what Jesus says. Read this. So Jesus says, when you pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So our reward comes when we go into the secret place. And it's the Father who sees us, not everybody. Not everybody who sees us. Are we willing to do that? Take time every morning or whenever it's convenient to you to go into your room, shut the door, and look to God and say, Lord, I want to seek your face this morning. Look at what Psalm 25 says. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So God has secrets and he's willing to reveal them. It's only when we go to him and you are willing to come before him and humble ourselves, then his secrets are relieved. We can go on as a Christian, come to church, sing praises, but then our life won't be, is not any different from anyone else. It's so easy to come to church and, you know, sing for half an hour, sing all the songs that are there. Then what happens after that? Can people see that we have been with Jesus? That is something that I desire very much, that people will see him through me, not who I am, what my abilities are, but Jesus will be seen through me. It's a challenge for each one of us. The more we seek him, the more he rewards us. Again, in Deuteronomy, it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. God is willing to reveal himself more and more. Why did Paul say that I might know him and the power of his resurrection? He had seen all these wonderful miracles. He was caught up into the seventh heaven and have these wonderful experiences. And yet he says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. There is this hunger to know God. Do we have that hunger this morning? Psalm 84, David says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. Let's read this.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns in your face for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow has for himself. Raising the heaven of your mouth, raising to your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, bless
how lovely is your dwelling place. Have we discovered that wonderful dwelling place that God has? The psalmist said, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the court of the Lord. Do we have that desire to know God? You know, I want to hammer this point again and again. Or are we just happy with who we are and what our Christian life is? The psalmist says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And look at that. He says, even the sparrow has found a home and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have a young, a place near your altar. Two insignificant birds. The sparrow is a small bird, and the swallow as well. They have found a nest near your altar. So even the smallest thing God gives shelter to. How much more us, if we're willing to come to him? Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. On Sunday morning, when we come here, our hearts really go out and praise God? Are we willing to lift up our hands and say, Lord, we worship you this morning? Or are we reluctant to do that? We keep our hands behind us and say, no, this is not for me. You know, I'm not used to that kind of thing. But if we release ourselves and say, God, I want to worship you, I want to praise you, something happens, not only in the natural, but in the supernatural. The Holy Spirit moves and he does wonderful things. Again here, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. Look at this verse. This is really interesting. Let's read this. It's very interesting as you look at this scripture from Exodus chapter 3. Moses used to take a tent and set it up away outside the camp, and he called it the meeting tent. So if you had to go and talk to God, you had to make that effort to go outside the camp, not in your dwelling. And anyone who wanted to ask the Lord about something would go to the meeting tent outside. So here you find a desire. If people wanted to know God, they had to go outside to the tent. And then you find two very different people here. Moses. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise and stand at the entrance of their tents. So one would go into the tent and one would stand outside. You know, sometimes it's just like us. We're not willing to worship God. We're not going to give him that reverence that he needs. We're willing to watch people from afar and let other people do the things. But God this morning wants us to come to the tent, to seek him, not stand where you are, not be people who will be complacent, but to seek him. And then look what happens. Moses went into the tent, and the pillar of cloud would always come down and stay at the entrance of the tent while the Lord spoke to Moses. So here Moses would be in the secret place. The pillar of cloud would come down and Moses would speak to God face to face. That door is still open to us. It is open to us if you're willing to go outside of our comfort zone, to make that effort to come before him every day. Not just when we need something, but a habit to come before him. And look at what happened. What's the reaction of the people? Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud at the entrance of the tent, they stood and worshipped each person at the entrance of his own tent. They were not willing to go to the tent, but they were in their own little place, worshiping God. And then it says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And if you go on to read the Exodus, it says every time Moses came down from his face would shine and he had to wrap something on. The glory of God reflected on that. That can happen to us when we go and spend time in the presence of God. Our face will change. We'll find that special glow. And people will recognize that. People will see that there is a difference. There's a difference when you come and spend time in the presence of God. Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he rescued me from all my fears. And look what verse 5 says. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces will never be ashamed. When you look to him, your faces are radiant. They're not long. The radiance comes from God in the sacred place. Look to him. This is a very interesting portion of scripture. Seriously about how you live. Watch carefully for danger. Remember, the devil is your enemy. He wants to hurt you. He walks about like a hungry lion. He's looking for someone to kill and then eat them. This is talking about temptation. Think seriously about how you live. Watch carefully for danger. Remember that the devil is your enemy. He wants to hurt you. He walks about like a hungry lion. He's looking for someone to kill and then eat them. Temptation is always there. Interesting, if you look at this, how the lions hunt, they only hunt when they're hungry. And first of all, they crouch, they spot their prey, they crouch, and they come very, very slowly. So there are two main hunting methods. First is a stalking and a direct confrontation. And lions can wait for a long time. They observe the prey's behavior and movements and to understand the optimal time to strike. And then this patient approach allows lions to get within striking distance undetected, increasing the chances of a successful hunt. Those of you who live in Africa know about lions, how they hunt. They come very, very quietly. They don't want to be detected. And in our lives, sometimes temptation is like that. The devil is always watching you, because he wants to trip you up. He wants to hurt you. He wants you to lose that first love you have for Jesus. He walks about like a hungry lion. He's looking for someone to kill and then to eat them. The lions do that. The devil does that. But then when we are in the secret place of the Most High God, Psalm 91 says, "You will dwell in the when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. He shelters you. He is our confidence. That is our strength, is to be recognized that we get our strength from the Lord. That when we are tempted, when we're facing battles, we're not facing it on our own, but we're facing it with the strength of God. That's something that we need to remember again and again. So just to summarize, what did Jesus do when he went into the wilderness? He had this intimacy with the Father. I and the Father, my Father and I are one. I hear what the Father is telling me and I do what he tells me. He got his instructions from the Father. He got insight into the Father's works. He got God's indication and God's timing for key moments in his life. When he was in Gethsemane, he says, "Let this cup pass for me, but I will do what you have." In the most difficult times, and he was imbued with strength to do what God had called him. He was willing to go to the cross for you and me. And then not only that, he was inspiration to his disciples. You see Peter and John, how they were transformed. So this morning I want to encourage us to follow Jesus in prayer. Pray a lot in secret. Learn to do that. Take time from your busy schedules. You know, some of us, you know, this morning as I was coming in the train to church, I was looking around on, almost everybody was on their phone. We have time for our phones. We have time to look at Facebook. We have all these dancing videos that people look at or Facebook or whatever things that, or playing games. But to come into God's presence, no, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy with my work. I'm too busy to do this and too busy to do that. We don't have time for God. We have time for everything else. We can sit down and watch movies, we watch Netflix, or whatever we want to do, we have time for that. But God, no, that's not for me. But I want to encourage us, whatever your schedule is, take time to come before God, to learn to come to that secret place. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's Revelation, the book of the first few chapters are, the whole book is written to the persecuted church, the church that is suffering. And it was a message of encouragement. It is a message of saying, don't be afraid. Don't give up hope. And here in Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." So what does this mean for us? Anybody? What does it mean for us? How does it apply to us? Does it even apply to us? These doors are locked or shut. So if anybody comes in, either they knock or they open the door. So imagine we're sitting here and Jesus wants to come in and he's knocking at the door. Are we going to open the door? Yes or no?
Yes.
He's saying the same thing here. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what will he do when he comes? He will have fellowship, yes, and he will come and eat with that person. When you have a meal with somebody, it's very special. It's an intimate time when you sit down at a table and you have a meal with them. You get to talk to them, and you get to know them more and more. So that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to have us in this intimate relationship. He wants us to come and have this secret place with us. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. It's an invitation to come into our lives, not just to assure us of our salvation, but to get us into a deeper knowledge of him. Have you ever thought of that? To letting him come into your life, to lead you into a deeper life. When he comes in, sometimes he changes the way your room is. He redecorates the place. He removes things that are not there in your life. And he brings something new. That is what the secret place is all about. Coming back to this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So this morning I want us to take a moment, if you feel God is calling you, to take that step to a deeper life within him. I want you to stand. This is not pressure on anybody. But if you want a deeper life, I want you to stand up and say this morning, Lord, I want to dwell in your secret place. How beautiful is your dwelling place. I want to be that person. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. To come into that intimacy. Anybody wants to? Yeah, please feel free to stand if you feel. Just open your hands and open your hands this morning before him and say, Father, I need you. Father, you this morning you see all these hands that are open, standing before you, Lord. Father, I pray that you will pour your Spirit upon them. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill them this morning. Renew their strength, Lord. They will run and not walk. Father, I pray that you would lay your hands on each one of them this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, touch them this morning. Father, this will be a new day for each one of them, each one of us, Lord, this morning, that we may learn to dwell in your presence, in your holy place. Father, we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives. I pray that you will continue to lead us and guide us. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne of grace, to him be glory now and forever. Amen. Thank you.